You are now listening to the Santos Church Podcast. My name is Rich. I'm the lead pastor here at Santos Church, and I just want to thank you for tuning in. If you'd like to get connected or get involved with what we have going on here in Southwest Detroit, stay tuned to the end of this episode for more information. But for now, let's get to it. All right. What's up, everybody? Pastor Rich here. Before we jump into today's content, let me just say two quick things. Number one, for everybody that's been listening to the Santos Church podcast, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you do, then you know that what we normally do is post our Sunday morning sermon content here on the podcast for anybody in our church that serves, or maybe somebody was out, or you have family that goes to a different church or doesn't go to a church or whatever it is, or you want to re-listen because you didn't take notes quick enough on Sunday morning or whatever it is, we try to just offer it here just as a callback and as an additional resource for anybody that might want to listen or share it. And so thank you for doing that. We've been getting a good amount of streams consistently for like months now on the podcast. So number one, just want to say thank you for listening. And we wanted to just share that we have plans going forward in 2025 to be even more intentional to make this a good resource and tool for you that listen to it. We want to have Q&A discussions on here. We want to offer testimonies from people in our faith community. We want to have guests on here to kind of share with you. We want to do some supplemental teaching with the podcast and all of that, things that we can't fit into a Sunday morning or our midweek Wednesday night time. And so keep listening. If this is your first time kind of checking in, this is an invite to subscribe and to keep listening and to keep sharing this with people who you just think this would be a blessing to or be helpful to. So that's number one. Number two, just wanted to say this, this original content, all my notes and everything from today were originally shared last Sunday. And today is January 31st. It's a Friday. Sorry this took a while to circle back to. We recorded this live during service last Sunday, but then when I put it in the editor to just throw the bumper on the front and back of the audio, there was no audio to it. So all of that was gone. So I knew I was going to have to re-record it, but that is just saying this to say that's why it sounds a little bit different today. Sometimes when a technical difficulty happens, I jump in and re-record the content in this format so we don't lose it. But that's why this is happening like this today. Okay. So just wanted to say that. That's why it sounds a little bit different today. But going forward, we want to do more of this just to make the podcast even more helpful to you. So thanks for listening. Subscribe, keep listening. And having said that, let's go ahead and jump into today's content. So in just a couple of weeks, it will be the fourth anniversary of Santos Church. 4 years ago, we didn't know if we would see past 6 months. At 6 months, we didn't know if the church would make it past a year. And at a year, we didn't know if the church would make it past 2 years. There were so many times along the way that I thought deeply about quitting. More times in the past 4 years have I cried myself to sleep or felt the weight of defeat or even questioned myself and my calling. This has been the hardest thing that I have ever done. In the beginning, we jumped in with just our little family, plus Roberto, who is our children's pastor, and minus Camila, who is my youngest child. We were joined by a small handful of people who were curious about what would happen next. After Courage Church, a church that used to gather in our same building, closed its doors for good, and its leadership quietly moved on. All in all, there were about 11 of us, plus our kids. All but one of those people have moved on once the wheels of Santos got turning, and some moved on quicker than others. But in that time, the heart has never changed, the goal has never changed, and the mission has never changed. All we've ever wanted to do was to be a church that was genuinely for people. We never set out to be the cool church, or to be the trendy church, or the young church, or the hood church, or the small church, or the big church. We just simply wanted to be the church. This has made things really easy in a lot of cases. We know what our goal is: to have a true relationship with Jesus and to let that guide us to love people and lead them to Jesus with our words and our actions. We like to say it like this: to know God and to love differently. This is why we have always tried to be present with whatever we have, wherever we are, whenever we have it. But this has also made things really hard in a lot of cases. Like in the beginning, it was asking questions like this: how do we navigate trying to reach more people and do the work of the church while trying to keep up with the church landscape that's changing so much coming out of COVID? Or how do we manage to invite more people to hear the gospel amongst a culture where people seem to want anything and everything but Jesus? Do we spend lots of money that we don't have to convince people that we don't know yet that we are a church that's worth attending? Or do we simply stay the course and be the church? Time will tell that we have always opted for the latter, because it's my deep belief that in order to reach the souls of people, we cannot sell the soul of the church. Our goal has always been to be the church. Our four-year history will show a consistent effort of outreach events, strong family ministry, shout out to Pastor Berto, community partnerships, neighborhood collaborations, homeless ministry, a bold preaching ministry, thoughtful worship and liturgical moments, care and benevolence, and assisting to meet various needs, both of people who call Santos Church home and people who don't. And I'm so very proud that this is what our community knows us for. Now, I'm a storyteller, and if you go to Santos Church on Sunday mornings, then you already know this, or if you're listening to this by now, you probably get that flavor. But over the years, as these moments have played out, the happy, the sad, the joyful, or the painful, they've become the story of Santos that gets told. And I believe that stories are so important. They create expectations, they share culture, they shape our understanding, and they're a key way that we learn, regardless of our age. But as I look back over the last 4 years, the Lord convicted me about the story that I have been telling. It works its way down into the nuts and bolts of who we are and has no doubt shaped our church culture and maybe even shaped your individual understanding or expectations. Most of this is intentional. Some of it's not. Most of it comes from passion. Some of it comes from frustration. But at times, I've struggled to update the story of Santos to where Santos is at now, rather than to tell the church now the story of Santos then. God has done so much, and we are the same church, but we are not in the same season. I can remember driving my car about 7 or 8 months ago, and while I was driving, I was just praying to God and asking him to keep bringing the things that the church needs to continue on its mission and to further establish itself as a staple in our community. And when we say community around here, we mean the community of people in the church, but we also mean the community around us, the place that our church is found in. And then I felt this deep sadness come over me, this discouragement that I felt deep down. And as I thought for a minute and just tried to pause to really pinpoint where it was coming from, I realized that I was afraid that people don't care as much about this as I do. It's fine, I told myself. I mean, I'm the pastor. It's my job to care more than everybody else, right? But then I heard these words in my heart that I believe were from the Holy Spirit. The vision isn't big enough. And I paused for a minute to make sure that I heard that right. I prayed, and then I got quiet, and I heard it again. The vision isn't big enough. And all at once, I knew what the message was. The story that I've been telling of days gone by, the same taglines that we repeat, I mean, the same scripting even that we use every week for offering, the scope of what we do and what we say we're trying to do in the neighborhood and who we think we are, it's just not inspiring growth because it's not challenging enough. It's not big enough for where we are anymore. Now, think about this. If a bar is set too low, it's not compelling enough to jump over. It's just too easy. Now, if a bar is set too high, it's too discouraging to even try, because we know that no matter what we do, we'll never get there. But if a bar is set just high enough where we know it's possible, but it also might challenge us, now that's something that's compelling enough where most people will want to take a shot at it. So simply put, I convinced myself that moving the bar at all was moving the bar too much. And in doing so, I haven't raised the bar enough for us as a church. So I knew that right now, 4 years into this thing, because our church has turned a corner, it was time for the story of Santos and the vision for the future of Santos to turn a corner too. In years gone by, I've considered but never followed through on having a Vision Sunday. This year, it all felt different. It felt necessary. For perhaps the first time since we've started, it felt like it was wanted, like people were hungry for a vision. Now, I believe this. You and I are here for such a time as this, and I truly believe that God has way more to do in this church and through this church. So as I proceed to ground us in the scripture and then unpack a bit of what this will actually look like in practice for our church, I want to give you just a moment, and on this recording, I will pause and try to mute my mic and give you a minute, and I want to ask you to just pray. to ask God to search your heart, to help you identify what he has called you to do individually, or maybe you as your family, if you have a family or if you're married. How has he called you to engage as a Christian, but also as a Christian that's plugged into Santos Church as a faith community? And I want you to ask him how he means to use you to do his work and to play your role in his church. So I'm going to pause the mic I'm going to mute the mic for a minute, and I'm just going to give you like 30 seconds. And if you're listening to this, I want to just invite you to just pray. Take the next 30 seconds and ask the Lord to just kind of show you. And as we're unpacking the scripture, but then also the nitty gritty of what this is going to look like in practice as our vision, ask the Lord and just ask the Holy Spirit to show you, to convict you, to guide you in what he has for you, both as a believer, but also as somebody who calls Santos Church your church. So go ahead and take a minute and just pray. Amen. Amen. So just before the holidays, I set aside a whole day to just get alone, to just have a time of prayer and worship, and to just seek the Lord on behalf of the church. I came to the church, you know, I was here by myself. I sang, I worshiped the Lord. I took communion by myself, and just invited the Holy Spirit. Well, I say by myself, but the Lord and I, no other people from the church with me. It was just me and the Lord, and took communion and just invited the Lord to just speak to me through his word and just guide me by the power of the Holy Spirit to just what the future holds for Santos Church. And as I prayed, I was directed to this passage, and I want to use it to just kind of root us in and to frame us in the vision going forward for the church. And so if you are somewhere where you can access your Bible, or you want to just kind of write this down or make a mental note of where this is at in case you would like to read it later, I'm going to read to you from Jeremiah 29, 4 through 13. Now, the context for this passage is that the one speaking in the passage is the prophet Jeremiah delivering a message on behalf of the Lord to the Jewish exiles who were living in Babylon. Essentially, what had been happening throughout the duration of the Old Testament is that God establishes his presence and his covenant with his people, so that way he can dwell with them. There's like customs and laws that go along with this, so they can maintain their purity, so they can have proximity with the Lord. And then they violate that, and then there's like a whole bunch of fallout that happens because of their violation of these things. So, you know, they have to move around, and they have land taken from them. They engage in all these battles, all this, but then the Lord is gracious and he reestablishes himself amongst them, but then they violate again. And there's just this kind of like rhythm of like them screwing it up, and then the Lord reestablishing himself and his ways amongst his people. And so this is following that long trajectory of that kind of back and forth where it's like, the Lord wants to establish himself amongst his people, but they mess it up. So then he, you know, then the repercussions for their actions follow them. And then they have to, then the Lord has to reestablish this amongst them. And there's even moments, I don't want to mix words on this, where downright, like they're being punished for their rebellion against the Lord. And so this is one of those times where it's like they're now in exile. The Lord carried them, as scripture says, or sent them into exile because of their repeated longstanding posture of rebelliousness towards his holiness. And it's important that we say that. And so this is them in Babylon as exiles. They're in a foreign place, and nothing is normal for them there. The people of the land worship idols. They worship pagan gods, false gods. There's nowhere for them to actually worship Yahweh God. It's just all out of whack for them. And so it'd be very easy for them to be like, we don't have our homes. We don't have our belongings. We can't worship God the way that we're supposed to here. You know, this is just, and just spiral in it and be like, well, what are we supposed to do in the middle of all of this? This is the worst situation ever. And then amongst all that, there's these false teachers who come through, and they know the situation that the Lord has sent them into exile, and that they're in this kind of waiting period And so taking advantage of that, they come through and they're claiming to speak on behalf of the Lord and to prophesy on behalf of the Lord or to have dreams on behalf of the Lord. And they're telling them things that they want to hear. They're essentially saying, well, the Lord is saying that this isn't going to last for that long, so don't get comfortable. He's going to bring you back into the promised land in a short time. It's only going to be a year or two, so don't worry about it. It's okay. And these are a bunch of thus saith the Lords when the Lord never thus said anything, right? And so this is where this passage kind of comes in the context of it. And so let me just read to you the passage now that you have the context. Starting in verse 4, Jeremiah 29 says this, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Verse 5, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." So already, I just want to point out a theme that we're going to pull through in our vision casting for 2025 and beyond. And it's that verse 5 and 6 right there, where the Lord says, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. You know, that really spoke to me because, especially like I mentioned a moment ago, in my early days of the church, it was so easy to be discouraged. Even if it was hard to be discouraged, I would have found myself discouraged because it was just such a gritty time. We were just trying to make it. We were just trying to survive. We were doing worse than paycheck to paycheck. I mean, things were just rough. And I was so discouraged, and I was questioning if it was the right thing. And as I would talk to my mentors or other friends who were pastors or just other Christian friends around me, believers around me, I'd be like, well, you know, I think I'm just going to find something else. Or, you know, I did this for a little while and that's great. Or I made it to a year. Or if I could just make it to 2 years, we'd be good. And they would always ask me like, okay, well, then what's going to happen to the church? Or, you know, Rich, you feel like you're called to Southwest. You feel like you're called to Santos. You love this church. You love these people. What's going to happen to the church, like, if you leave and go somewhere else? And I would always kind of flip it and water down really kind of what I was doing, which was just ripping something apart before it even had a chance to produce any fruit. But I would always say something like, well, at least I kind of planted the seeds and, you know, I left something for somebody else to walk into and they can take it even further than I did. And that was my way of just kind of giving myself an out. And I think if we're honest, we as Christians kind of do this a lot. We skip out on different jobs. We job hop, we church hop, we relationship hop. We do all these different kind of things and we give ourselves the benefit of the doubt by looking at, oh, well, you know what? That was good while it lasted. Or, you know, at least maybe God used that to do something that I'm not aware of, but I'm just going to trust that he's going to use that and somebody else is going to pick it up where I left off. Or, you know, that was good for a season, but it wasn't supposed to be. And we just have this really bad, if I'm honest, this really bad theology because we don't know how to stay put. And I love that the Lord right here in the middle of exile to his people, he tells them to build houses. In other words, get comfortable, settle down, plant gardens, and don't just be satisfied to plant the garden and let somebody else reap the harvest. In other words, he says, or in his words, he says, plant gardens and eat what they produce. In other words, sow the seed, tend to it. First of all, till the soil, then sow the seed, tend to it, make sure that it's healthy and that it grows, that it sustains, and then be around long enough to see it produce something, and then you can reap the rewards of the produce. You'll be there for the harvest, that plentiful harvest where the workers are few. I think the workers are few a lot of the time because we skip out before it's harvest time because we're so fed up with the work that it takes to get there. And I feel like the Lord, for just Christians, if you're listening to this, believers, if you're listening to this, you could take that as a word for you. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord. This is coming from me, but I feel like that's a strong word for us, especially in today's culture, that we need to figure out how to plant our feet, to take a punch, to be there and be determined to not just plant seeds for somebody else or to kind of give ourselves a loophole out, but we need to plant seeds with the intention of sticking it out and being there to tend to it so that we can reap the harvest and benefit off of what it produces. That's the Lord's gift to us. We could take that as the Lord's gift to us by being present for all the work and for sowing the seeds. The joy that comes in the work is by reaping the harvest that came from the work. And so even for our church, I've gotten to a place where, as hard as it's been and as hard as it gets, I believe that there's a harvest coming, and that the Lord has called us to be somewhere long enough to be there for the harvest that comes from the seeds that were sown. Don't be somewhere long enough just to sow seeds. Be somewhere long enough to see the produce that comes from what you planted. Plant gardens and be there to eat what the gardens produce. So, carrying on, verse 8, it says, "Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams that you encourage them to have." We just want somebody to tell us what we want to hear. So we're looking for any low-hanging fruit. Oh, somebody had a vision. Somebody had a dream. Somebody has something that sounds spiritually accurate. We don't even know their base in any kind of spirituality. We may not even know what they believe. They may not even be believers of Christ or followers of Christ, but we're just so anxious to have somebody tell us what feels good, tell us what we want to hear, that we're encouraging these kind of things. And the prophet Jeremiah is saying on behalf of the Lord here, do not listen to the dreams that you encourage them to have, because they're prophesying lies to you in my name, and I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Verse 10, this is what the Lord says. When 77 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to you to bring you back to this place, the land that he promised to give them. Verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then, and I love this verse, and we should let this speak to all of us today. Verse 12, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me, and when you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 13. And so a couple of takeaways I have to give you just before I roll into what this is going to look like for our church. Just a couple of takeaways. For the framework of where we're going with our vision, what we really got from that is this: the call to increase and not decrease. We know that there's not two ways around it. It's this idea of proactive increase. In other words, if you think you're just maintaining, you're eventually going to drift and you're going to start to decrease. So we don't want to just maintain, we want to increase. And the way that I'm going to say it for the sake of the vision casting that's to come right now is this: don't just maintain, multiply. Increase, do not decrease, and don't just maintain, multiply. So let me share a little bit with you of what this is going to look like at Santos Church in 2025, but then going forward. So where are we going? That's the question that we're kind of asking when we lay out any kind of vision. Where are we going? In order to kind of comprehensively unpack all this and answer that, I set three goals for the vision casting. I'm going to share with you what the three goals are, and then I'm going to share with you how we're going to get there. So number one, we want our roots to go deep. We want deep roots in our personal lives. We want them inside the church, and we want them outside the church. You need to be rooted in your faith. I don't want you to be catechized or discipled into being a loyal follower of Santos Church or of Pastor Rich. I want you to be rooted in the strongest foundation that you can, that's rooted in the historical Christian church through scripture, through the tradition, through what's given down to us from the church fathers, all of these things that we've been talking on and teaching on. We want deep roots, and we want those in our personal lives. We want those inside the church, but then we know that once they hit us personally and we have them communally in the church, that they have no choice but to follow us outside of the church. And so we want our roots to go deep personally, inside the church and outside the church. Number two, we want healthy ministry and healthy ministers. I said on Sunday when I originally preached this and shared this vision that in the past 4 years, just with how things were chaotic for a season or just hard for a season, we were just grinding. And, you know, I work a full-time job. My wife works a full-time job. Everybody on our core team works full-time jobs. Everybody that's an eldership at the church works full-time jobs. And just because everybody's always kind of working on multiple things, that over the past 4 years, there was absolutely times where I led from an unhealthy place, where I was striving for health and I knew there was unhealth. And I don't want to say I don't want to say that to sound like anything scary or whatever. There was no moral failing or anything crazy like that. But it's just times that I was tired and I needed a break, or times that maybe my prayer life was slower than it should have been just because I was worn out and exhausted. But it felt the need to continue to press through. And so there's been different times like that. And if you look over the trajectory of the church, you can see where there's been times that we've pushed people on our team to take breaks, where I have sat down for a month or 2 months of preaching and all of this kind of stuff, just to rest and let other people preach and to teach in the church, so that way I can be poured into and maintain that spiritual health that's needed to preach and to teach and to lead the church. And so there's been times of that, and we don't want that to be the norm. And sadly, that's the norm in a lot of churches, where pastors are just burnt out, or they're depressed, or they're tired, or they're anxious, and they're just go, 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 but they feel like they can't stop. And that just leads to unhealthy ministers, which just leads to unhealthy ministry. And we don't want that. We want healthy ministry and healthy ministers. And then number three, we want to grow. We want to grow our faith personally and communally. We want to grow our church. I think the mission of the church is to reach more people with the gospel. So we don't want to grow for the sake of numbers and for the sake of attendance, just for the sake of attendance and taking those cool Instagram pictures where it looks like there's a lot of people in the room and we just got it going on like that. We're not worried about that. We want to reach actual people and actual souls. So we definitely want growth for our church community, because then that means that we are reaching people, that we're being evangelistic with the gospel. We want to grow our influence in our community so that people know us and know that we are a staple, that we're dependable, that we love our community, and that we're here to serve our community. And we know that when we grow our faith, our church, and our influence, that will grow our impact as a church. So we want to grow our roots to grow deep in our personal lives, in the church, and outside the church. We want healthy ministry and ministers, and we want to grow our faith, our church, our influence, and our impact. So how will we get there? How will we get there? Well, here's our kind of Vision 2025 roadmap. Also, I said this on Sunday morning, but if anybody listening to this is like, man, this would really help to have a visual for, I can send you my slide deck for this from Sunday morning. Would be happy to share it with you, and it has all of this information on there as well. But here's kind of our roadmap in sharing what the Vision 2025 is. We cover a few different areas. How many? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 different areas that we cover kind of in our tour of what the vision is. And I'm going to run over them. So feel free to listen to this and rewind back and forth to this part as many times as you need to, because I know there's a lot of information here in rolling out this much of the vision. So what are the 6 parts? Number one, we're going to talk about attendance in the church, attending church. What does that look like? And what does that mean? What do we want to see from that? Number two, we're going to talk about giving and generosity. Number three, we're going to talk about the word, God's word. Number four, we're going to talk about discipleship plans in the church. Number five, we're going to talk about missions and outreach in the church. And then number six, we're going to talk about stewarding our facilities in the church. Okay. And so here we go. Number one, the vision for attending and attendance for the church. 3 simple things that we could unpack in all sorts of directions, but very simply put, it's number one, we want every person who calls Santos Church their home church. Whether they come once a month or once every 3 months, we want every person who calls Santos Church home to be attending regularly. But here's the caveat. Regularly does not mean that if you normally attend once every 3 months, that you just keep regularly attending once every 3 months. That's not regularity. We want what we mean by regularity as a goal is that we want people who are growing in faith, who are maturing in their faith, and who value the things of the Lord and the community of believers. We think that those types of people, and I pray that that's you as a believer in Christ, should value church enough to be in church 3 to 4 times a month. 3 to 4 times a month. And so you could kind of sum that up to say most Sundays you should be in church. You should be in church more Sundays of the month than you're not, okay? Number two, we want every regular attender to be moving towards membership. Why are we pushing membership? Not so you can be in the inner circle or get, you know, different perks or whatever it is. It's not for that. It's that we want to be committed. We want to be rooted to the things of the Lord. And that means the local church. This is a thing that the Lord prioritizes for us in Scripture. It's all over the teaching of Scripture in the New Testament. So we want to value what Scripture gives us and teaches us and prescribes to us as believers as far as it pertains to church and the life of the church. And so we should be moving towards membership because that speaks to a greater commitment to the family of faith that is gathered in this church. So we want every regular attender to be moving towards membership. And then lastly, on attendance, we want every member fully engaged in the life and mission of the church. This means that you should be serving or striving to serve or discerning where you should be serving in the church. So running those over real quick with no other unpacking. Like I said, you can rewind and re-listen to this and come find me if you have any questions or email me if you have any questions. Would love to talk about any of this further. But vision for attendance. We want every person who calls Santos Church home attending regularly, 3 to 4 times a month or most Sundays, more Sundays than you're not in church. Number two, we want every regular attender to be moving towards membership. And then number three, we want every member fully engaged in the life and the mission of the church. Amen. Number two, vision for giving and generosity. I have another three bullet points for you on this one. Number one, as far as it pertains to vision for giving and generosity, is we want every attender to be giving regularly. Okay, so I just like to think of this as like every time we get paid, but you are up to kind of discern what that means for you, and I would invite you, encourage you, challenge you even to take it before the Lord and see what he would have you do. But we want every attender, whether you're a member or not, if you are growing in your faith in Christ, then you should be valuing the church and growing in your value of the church and in your valuing of the church and prioritizing of the church enough to be giving with some sort of regularity. So every attender should be giving regularly. Number two, we want every member of the church to be giving committedly. That's elevated beyond regularly. If you're a committedly giver or you're a committed giver, that means that you are giving consistently, regularly, and you prioritize it and you value it the right way. You see it in a healthy light as it pertains to fueling the mission of the church. We want every member to be giving committedly. And then number three, we want every giver, whether you're an attender or a member, every giver to be striving to give at least 10%. So there's a lot to be said around this teaching. Some people are like, oh, so the tithe is 10%. And some people say, well, Scripture doesn't teach the tithe. The Old Testament teaches the tithe, but the New Testament does it. But in the New Testament, we've looked at this at Santos before. In the New Testament, if we're being honest, Jesus references the tithe in the New Testament. And he gives strong implications that the tithe should kind of be like the bottom of what our giving is, not the top of what our giving is. And so that's why we say striving for at least 10%, because we want to be giving, we want to be generous in our giving. So if we're able to give more than our 10%, then we do. Or if we're able to give our 10%, but then we're able to, put something in the community fridge, or we're able to bless somebody and give them gas money, then we're giving in other ways and we're being generous in creative ways, but we don't withhold our tithe from the church in order to be generous in other areas and equate that to be the same thing. Giving to the church is giving to the church. It's not the same as other types of generosity. And I said this on Sunday too, and I just think it bears repeating, is that I think a lot of times people have this idea, two ideas. Number one is that churches just kind of get money from this like invisible organization that just loves churches and gives money to churches. That's how churches are open. And why does the church need my money? But here's the truth. Paul says this all over Scripture, and you can go study it for yourself if you'd like to, or we could talk about this. But all over Scripture, both Old Testament teaching on giving, but also New Testament teaching on giving, and Paul's writing around the responsibility of the local church to take care of the things of the church. There's no way to kind of like mix that up or to honestly misinterpret that. Paul's teaching and the New Testament teaching is clear that the people of God, Christians, who make up the church are responsible for the well-being of the church and the sustaining of the church. And there's no way to sustain the church in 2020. I wish there was, but there's no way in 2025 to sustain the church without money. So that's just what it is. So we want us to have a strong vision for giving and for generosity for the church. Number two, I think we have this idea that if I don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. And frankly, this is one of those areas as the pastor of the church that I should have done better and could have done better at raising the bar for us in the past. It's hard to talk about. We're in an area where people don't have a ton of money. And so sometimes you feel bad talking about it, or you know, you just don't know what somebody's going through. So you don't want to just assume that people should be giving and they're not. And it's kind of, you know, that people aren't really friendly when churches talk about money, because it's kind of a caricature that, you know, whatever it is. And so I haven't set the bar high enough for us as a church to just kind of say it for what it is. And that is this, is that Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, we are called to give to the church in order to sustain and to fuel the church. And even more than that, not to just do the bare minimum, but to push the mission of the church forward, because we value the work of God that can only be done through the local church. That's not to say that the work of God can only be done through the local church, but there is types of work and pieces of that work that God means to be done through his church. And so we prioritize that as his people. And so we give to the church. If there's any questions on that or any scripture needed for that, hit me up. I'd love to talk to me on a Sunday. Would love to talk to you about it, but I feel like this is pretty clear for that. So we want every attender to be giving regularly. We want every member to be giving committedly, and then we want every giver to be striving for at least 10%. Okay. So there we go. We have attendance. We have giving and generosity. Here's the third segment, vision for the word, for the Bible, for scripture. Here's a couple of things that you can hold us to as leadership of the church and hold me to as the pastor of the church. What are you going to get from us as far as the word goes? Two things. Number one, meaningful Sunday morning preaching. This is unashamed preaching straight out of the Bible. The mission is to share Jesus and everything. And the goal within that is to show how the Word of God, the Holy Bible, is our companion in life, not just on Sundays. We want a high biblical literacy amongst our faith community in the church. And we want timely application of the scripture. In other words, we don't just want a bunch of head knowledge. We want to know that the word of God is so true that we apply it to our life, that we understand how to rightly read and interpret scripture, and then we understand how to rightly apply it to our life, and that we live in line with the word of God. We don't try to bend the word of God to fit how we would prefer to live. Number two, foundational Wednesday night study groups. We call this midweek. Right now, midweek is structured into three classes for adults, and we have classes for kids and teens. And here's the hope, that Wednesday nights would be a conversational and helpful instructional time for you to grow in your faith. The goal is for midweeks to be seen and valued as important times to continue developing your faith. It's not to be seen as extra credit. It's not to be seen as, I went on Sunday, so, you know, maybe I'll check out midweek sometime. Or I went on Sunday, so I don't have to go to Wednesday. We want to offer, our church is very hungry for the things of God right now, has a lot of curiosity around scripture, which praise God for. That's incredible. But we are doing things to equip that and to meet that. And this is one of those things. And so we want people to prioritize being there on midweeks, just like we want people to prioritize being there on Sunday mornings. We understand that you can't always do both. We understand that, you know, things are the way they are. Maybe you work later on Wednesdays and you can't get there on time, or whatever it is. Totally understand, but our hope is that if you are able to be there, that it would be prioritized to grow in your understanding of scripture, to grow in your community within the church as well. And so meaningful Sunday morning preaching and foundational Wednesday night groups, because the basis of everything that we teach and where we want to go as a church is rooted in the word of God. Amen. So there's attendance, there's giving and generosity, and there is the vision for the word, and it being the foundation for what we do and where we go as a church. Next, we have our vision for discipleship. Okay. And I know I'm kind of running through these because I don't want this to be like a super duper long recording of this, but I want this to live here in case you missed it on Sunday. And in case you had questions over it, I trust that you can go back and, you know, hit that little like rewind 10 second or 15 second button a few times and listen again if you need to. Okay. So sorry for moving quicker through things or not unpacking things as much. Trust that you can go back and find what you need or ask questions accordingly. So here's our vision for discipleship. And this is what I mean by being rooted in the scripture. So this is in two parts. Number one, everyone is a Paul to somebody. We need to embrace this as a church. I think a lot of times, not just our church, but certainly in our church as well, we give ourselves a loophole on what God wants us to do or how we could be serving or maturing in our faith because we give ourselves an easy, oh, I don't know enough, or oh, I don't know the scripture enough, or oh, I don't have the answers to all these questions. So nobody is looking up to me, or certainly nobody would ask me, or I'm still learning, so I can't, whatever. We have to understand that regardless of how long you've been a Christian, there's always somebody younger in their faith than you are. Even if that means, like if you just got saved yesterday, there's somebody that's not even a Christian yet that now is going to be looking at your Christian witness. You understand? So we have to understand that you're a Paul to somebody. So we need to pray that God would show us who it is, that we would intentionally draw close to them, and that through prayer and just being open to the moving of the Holy Spirit, we would let God work through us in those relationships. And we mean that as discipleship in the church as well, as a healthy way to look at how we lead Christian lives in our workplaces or in our social groups or whatever it is, even outside of a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, because we never stop being the community of the church. But we need to understand that we are a Paul to somebody. And we need to be asking, God, how do you mean to use me to encourage somebody who is coming alongside me or even coming behind me who might be a little bit younger than me in their faith? How do you want me to serve as a Paul to them? Number one. Number two, everyone is a Timothy to somebody. So before we get all like, we put our Superman cape on and we're like, yeah, that's right, I'm the Paul. We also have to be humble enough to know that everybody is simultaneously a Timothy to somebody. Regardless of how long you've been a Christian, there's always somebody further along in their faith journey than you are. Age in life is different than age in faith. We got to remember that. So it doesn't mean that you're only going to be Timothy's to people who are, you know, 10 years older than you. There might be somebody who's 2 or 3 years younger than you, but is just, that has just studied the word, that has just been diligent in their faith, that's been growing in the Lord and is just leading that kind of life where they're just hungry for the Lord that you could learn something from. So we want to make sure that we specify that age in life is different than age in faith. And so, we need to do the same thing. We need to pray that God would show us who we are a Timothy to, and we need to draw close, and through the guiding of the Holy Spirit, we need to let the Lord work in those relationships. And so maybe take a moment now, or maybe pause this podcast and think, even within the church, pray, Lord, who should I be a Paul to in the church? Who is somebody in the church that I can take under my wing and just walk this faith journey out with? How could I be useful and helpful to somebody else within my faith community? And then maybe ask the same thing about your workplace or your personal life outside of those things, even though those things shouldn't be separated. But we want to make sure that this is fully encompassing and it's touching not just what you think of Sunday mornings or the people you go to church with, but it's impacting your life equally is what I mean to say. So maybe pray about who the Lord would have you be a Paul to, and then pause likewise and pray and ask the Lord who he would have you be a Timothy to. Who has God placed you around and in community with that you can just say, hey man, listen, we need to normalize this in 2025. We need to normalize believers, finding mature believers and saying, hey, I view you as a Paul to me. I think you'd be a great Paul to me. Could we be intentional to where like I'm Timothy, you're Paul, and we're just walking this out together? I'd love to have you as accountability to me. I would love to have you to give you permission to just speak into my life, to share with me, to pray for me, be praying for me, you know, that I'd love to bring questions to you on or to have conversations with you you know, these kind of things, we need to normalize that. And this would be a great organic model for our church going forward. It will be that model going forward, that everybody is a Paul to somebody and everybody is a Timothy to somebody. And we need to view ourselves as such with that kind of responsibility to help share the faith, but also that kind of humility to continue to learn and be a student in the faith. Amen. So that's discipleship. Next, we have our vision for missions and outreach, but this is speaking specifically to missions because outreach is something that we already get busy in. You understand? So as far as missions goes, Santos mission trips. These are going to be a thing coming up. We've just came off of our first church mission trip to Juarez, Mexico with Casas por Cristo, and it was incredible. We're going to be sharing about that this Sunday a little bit, showing you pictures and all of that. And so we are going to make this a regular thing that we do. We'll have more details on this going forward, but for the vision casting aspect of it, just know that this will be a thing coming up for us regularly as a church, that our church will be the hands and feet of Jesus to others outside of our immediate context, partnering with churches and organizations to carry the hope of Christ abroad, whether it's Mexico or Guatemala or Minnesota or wherever it is. But outside of our immediate context, we want the hands and feet of God to be felt through Santos Church in areas that are even beyond where we find ourselves day in and day out. So stay tuned for those things. And if the Lord has put it on your heart to serve in missions in any way, let us know and sign up for these trips and get more information because we want to mobilize our church. Number two, Santos supporting missionaries. Our church will be partnering with ministers who are already on the mission field. We already currently serve two home missionaries, one that serves in campus ministry, one of our elders, Chris Kelly. We already partner with him monthly to make sure that the mission of the gospel is going forward on Wayne State University right here in our own Detroit. And then we also partner with Adam Bell, who is doing foster ministry work here in Michigan. But we have a plan to support more missionaries who are even abroad that might be overseas, Philippines, Guatemala, wherever it is. We want to take on more missionaries and let, again, that's another way that the hands and feet of Santos Church will be felt from Santos Church in other places, whether we can be there in person or not, to just give love, to send letters, to resource them, to try to help finance them in certain projects. We want to step up and help to do those things because we are called to do those things as the body of Christ. So that's our vision for missions. And then here's the last one. Woo! We made it to the last one. Our vision for our facilities. Now, this ties into the attendance. This ties into the giving and generosity. This ties into all of the aspects that we have. But this is why it's so important that we talk about those things and that we prioritize those things, because we are going, remember, we frame this by saying to increase, not decrease, to multiply and not maintain. So in order to do that, we have to multiply in areas that we've maintained. We have to increase in other areas where we've been content to just maintain, whether it's our showing up for church, whether it's our giving to the church, whether it's our serving in the church, whether it's our investment in our time in the church or in others in the church and building community in the church and valuable relationships. It all comes into a crossroads at some point. And that's why it's so important that we have a holistic vision for all of those things, not just some of those things. So here's what we have for our vision for our facilities going forward. Number one, we need to steward what we have. We have two current facilities. We have a duplex house that is a parsonage right now. It's in the neighborhood. It's I won't say the street names because that seems kind of reckless, just throwing it on the internet, but it's in the neighborhood. And that's also where we have our community table, where we do block parties and different ministry functions in the community of Southwest Detroit throughout the year when the weather is good. That's one facility. Number two, of course, is our church building. But both of those things are old. It's an older house. It's an older church. Did you know that our church was built in 1892? The cornerstone on the church dates back to 1892. We have an older facility, and it's gorgeous, and it's beautiful, and it's a gift, but we need to steward these things well before we can multiply. We need to make sure that the things that we have are being tended to before we set our sights beyond those things. And so our current facilities have come a long way, but they have a long way to go. In the next several months, we'll be developing more plans and sharing details to make improvements on the facilities, such as getting new carpeting and flooring in the church, in the kids' church, working on our lighting. If you attend the church, then you know only about half of our lighting in our sanctuary space turns on. So it's always pretty dark in there, even if it's a beautiful sunny day, because our lighting just doesn't fully work. We need to update our sound system. Our board functions at like 75%, only like 50% of the time. So we need to update that. We have stained glass that's beautiful, and it's a fixture of the church, but there's pieces that are broken, that have been vandalized, that have been blocked, so that way the neighborhood can't see it from the out. We want to expose the beauty of the church, and so we need to do some things to take care of those things and to repair those things. Our baptismal tank does not heat right now, and it doesn't self-fill, and so I come every time we have a baptism on a Sunday. I'm here Saturday night at like 1 a.m. filling up the baptismal, putting in heaters that I've bought on Amazon to try to get the water warm so we're not baptizing people in frigid cold waters. We need to repair a baptismal. And then also, because our kids and our youth deserve the best and we want to serve families well, we want to continue with our phase one of upgrading our family ministry spaces in the basement of the church. All of these things cannot be done without your generosity, without my generosity. And I want to say that too. I give to the church as well. So nobody's exempt from this. I give to the church my 10% every time I get paid, because I believe in the mission of the church. And so we have to do this together. It's a team lift. We got to get out of the headspace of, well, if I don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. We have to assume nobody else is going to do it. We have to stop thinking that if nobody else does it, then I'll do it. We need to adopt the mentality to say, you know what? If there's a need, I want to be the first one to make sure that it gets taken care of. And that's the heart of God. And that's the heart that I think we should have, not just in these things, but in all things, in caring for people and serving in the church. In whatever way, we want to have the mind of Christ. And so we want to be the ones who go first in doing the hard things. And then the second part in our facilities, after stewarding what we currently have, is we want to invest in future growth. Plainly put, we've had multiple opportunities to obtain additional properties in the neighborhood, some as close as next door to us. Our next door neighbor to the church has a three-unit house. I forgot what it's called. My wife would call it a triplex, but it has three units in it. And the neighbor is seriously considering moving. He's told me multiple times, and he's like, "Hey, if we move, you know, would you be interested?" I'm like, "Bro, you have to tell me first, because we will definitely buy it." And he's like, "Okay, where are you gonna get the money, or do you have the money?" And I'm like, "Yeah, man, don't worry about it. Just let me know. We gonna get it. And I'm saying that in faith, because we want to be ready for those opportunities. You know, we could turn that into housing. We could turn that into a community center. We could turn that into a resourcing center. There's so many things we could do. We could clear out that back lot and expand our parking lot, or put in a playground for the children. We have to get a vision for those things that have not happened yet. And that means that we have to increase and not just maintain and not decrease. We have to multiply, not just maintain. And so I want that to be our heart in that. And so whatever that is, here's what I want to leave us with. I want you to just take this and meditate on this. We have to sow the seeds now for the harvest that we want then down the road. So we have to think of what we want to see happen for the church and our faith community down the road. We want to get a vision for what that is. And then we want to work backwards from that. And we have to know that whatever that is down there, we have to sow the seeds of today in the name of the Lord. And so that means that we invest in these ways, trusting that the Lord is going to bring it to fruition and that we'll reap the harvest of it down the road. We don't want to have our sights so fixated on other things or convincing ourselves that this just isn't that important. So we never sow, or we never give to something with value to it, because we have no vision for what could be or what the Lord would have it be if we would just follow through and follow him. And so we want to sow seeds now for the harvest we want then. And I'll leave you with this quote by the pastor and theologian Warren Wiersbe. He says this: "To indulge in false hopes is to miss what God has for us right now." I think a lot of churches struggle because we are so worried about where else we could be. We have this grass is always greener on the other side mentality. And so we're so worried about where we wish we were, where we wish we lived, what we wish we were doing. And a lot of us have opinions on what we wish the church would do, even Santos Church. It's not lost on me that people probably have opinions on what we think the church should do better or do different, or what we wish we did have as a church. And I just want to say this, that we want to work towards those things in a healthy regard as a church, but getting kind of lost in the sauce of like, well, what if, and what's going on over there, and why don't we do it like that, and what if the Lord wants to take me somewhere else? What, the fact is, you are where you are right now for a reason. And if we get so caught up in what Warren Wiersbe in this quote says are false hopes, then all we actually do is miss what God has for us now and where God has us at right now. To indulge in false hopes is to miss what God has for us right now. And I don't want to do that. I don't want Santos Church to do that. I don't want you to do that. I don't want us to do that as a faith family. And so as I sign off today, this was about 15 minutes longer than I wanted it to be, but I hope it's been helpful to you. What I would like for us to do, and what we did on Sunday morning, is even as you turn this podcast off, I would just invite you to not just jump into the next podcast or jump into the next thing or the next video or to resume scrolling or whatever. I would just ask you to take a moment to just pray about everything you just heard. And it was a lot. Maybe rewind to something you need to hear again. Maybe it's the serving piece. Maybe it's the attendance piece. Maybe today's the day that you need to say, you know what? Man, my church attendance has just been flat out sloppy. Like, I haven't been committed in that way. And because of that, you know, maybe I'm not growing, or maybe I'm not connected to people in the church the way I wish I was, or maybe I don't feel seen, or maybe I don't feel heard, whatever it is. I feel like I'm missing something, or whatever it looks like. Maybe today's the day that you say, you know what, I'm going to commit to be here 3 Sundays in the month. Maybe today's the day that you pray about it and you say, you know what, Lord, like, what do you have for me? You know, maybe it's the giving piece. Maybe you've come to Santos Church for a long time and you've just never given because you haven't prioritized the mission of the church like that. Maybe you've had the mentality where it's like, well, if I don't do it, somebody else will. Or if I think it's valuable enough, maybe I'll give once in a while. Maybe you just need to ask the Lord, like, Lord, how would you have me give? How much should I be giving? And here's the thing. I think a lot of times we don't do that because we already have a feeling of what the Lord would say. And we just don't want to hear what the Lord would say because it's different than what we would tell ourselves. And so maybe it's serving. Maybe it's missions. Maybe you're like, yo, like, I've been feeling like I need to go on a mission trip or serve in a greater way like that or in a different way like that. But you're scared or you're apprehensive or it's just too unknown for you. And maybe today you just need a resolve to say, Lord, if that's what you have for me, then let me take the next step. Let me sign up for a trip. Let me ask for more information. Let me lean in that way. Whatever it looks like for you, I would just ask you to do that before you just jump right into the next thing. Because that's what I've been doing. That's what I've been asking the leadership and the elders of the church to do. And that's what I would ask you to do as somebody who calls Santos Church your home church. And listen, even if Santos Church is not your home church and your homeboy or homegirl referred this podcast to you and you somehow made it through the whole vision casting for our church, I would just invite you to do this for your church, wherever you do call your home church. The Lord has called you to be a part of a local church, a local body, because he has something for you there. And so maybe you need to discern what the Lord would have you do there. And maybe if you don't have a home church and you're looking for one, if you made it this far, just take this as an invite directly. We would love to have you at Santos Church. We're a great faith community. We're a growing faith community, and we just want to be the church. And we would love for you to be a part of it. And so come check us out on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. But for anybody else and everybody else, I love you. I'm so thankful for our journey together over the past 4 years, and I'm looking forward to many, many, many more beautiful moments together. I truly believe that the Lord hasn't even scratched the surface of what he has for Santos Church yet. And so I'm going to pray to actually end out this podcast, and then I want to invite you to just ask the Lord to speak to you in accordance with what we shared today in the vision for 2025 and beyond for Santos Church. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I love you and I thank you for all the things that you've done through the church for the past 4 years. Lord, for the ups, the downs, for all the lessons that you've shown me and you've shown us. Lord, for everybody you've brought through the doors of our church, for every person that you've, for every soul that you've welcomed into the kingdom of God and into the family of the church through baptism, through community. Lord, for every moment of communion we've had to just share your body and blood with one another. Lord Jesus, thank you for the beautiful moments and thank you for the hard ones too. For every tear that was shed, for every question that was raised, Lord, you have truly used it all to bring us to such a place as this for such a time as this. So Lord, now would you just speak to everybody that's listening to this, for everybody that calls Santos Church home, would you speak to us and show us in the areas that you would have us grow, the areas that you'd have us lean in, and what you have for us as individuals, both in our walk with you, but also the role that you've called us to play in your church. So Lord, we thank you for it. We love you, Lord, and we ask it all in your name. Amen and amen. Thank you again for listening, and I hope to see you on a Sunday morning real soon. Thanks again for tuning in to the Santos Church podcast. If you'd like more information, you can check us out online at santoschurch.org or connect with us on social media. On Instagram, it's at Santos Detroit, and Facebook is facebook.com/Santos Church Detroit. We'll catch you next time.